recording from yesterday.
Okay. Fine. We are on Daf. Daf Yud Ches Amud Aleph. It's a new Mishnah. Where is my Mefarshim? Okay. Mishnah. Ha'orla Vekila Eyaker Mistar from Zenda. So, okay, what is being discussed? I'm sorry. There are two Isurim which are similar, right? Orla, meaning the Isur to eat a tritate fruit from a tree within the first 3 years of its life. Right, the fourth year being Netaravai, meaning it's a similar din to Isur Sheni. You can either do a pidyon and take the money to your shalayim and use that to buy food to eat in your shalayim bet tahara, or you can use it. Or you could just take two ashlaim and eat it there, betara, one way or another, right? But the first 3 years are asabano. Those 3 years are called orla, right? And kila ehakerim, that's alav, and kila ehakerim. Kila ehakerim is when you plant grains in an orchard, right? And that makes everything in the kerim asur behana. Right? Assuming the trees grew at 200, right? In that time, everything becomes asur behana. Orla and Kivaya Kerem Mitzaref Ze Im Ze, right? Similar to Pigla and Noisar, which we already discussed. Right, Rehabi Shimon said, Ein Mitzaref in Nut. Note, right? Lichora, you can ask a reasonable question, like, Mapitom, why would they be Mitzaref? Hooray! We said that when it comes to Kodesh, there isn't Kulsheb but Kodesh, because everything which is Kodesh comes together in a special issue. The fact that we need Xeris Kosov in that case should have indicated that that's not the case anywhere else. No? Yeah. So the answer of Pashta is that Orla and Kilayim are Karam and Mistarif because of the same thing. No, not the same issue at all, but there's still this is grapes and this is grapes, this is oranges and this is oranges. Right? Right, and since we tend to assume that Isurim are defined not by their shame, not by the shame of the Isur, the name of the Isur, but rather by the taste of the Isur, that is lichoro what I can be mistarif. I just shorthanded a very, very large sugya. It's a famous matzah in the Rama on the Shas, but that al regel achas is pashas what's going on. Okay.
Let's not look at within Orla and Kilayakarim.
Let's not look at Isurim in general. The Kitzur, Al Ragil Achas, the Gemara in Avodah Zarah records in Machlokes between Rav and Abaye, if we say, when it comes to that, Min Mimino is Batel, we assume in the Torah Beroiv, right? And Midrabanan Beshishim. Like, I think Min Beshein Mimino is Batel Min Torah Beshishim, right? Because we assume Shishim is a proxy for time, and if it's only 1/60th, then there won't be any time left. Right? You understand? Great. How do you define Min B'mino and Min B'shein B'mino? Right, so Rava and Abaya machlokes about the Nevei Zarah. Rava says Basar Shmazin, you define it by the shame of the Yisr, and Abaya says Basar Taimazin, you define it by the time of the Yisr. Right? The Rama paskins like Rava. The Shach says, no, you shouldn't paskin like Rava. Why? Two reasons. Firstly, we paskin Tam Kikar. In general, we paskin Tam Kikar, which sounds like Abaya, not like Rava. In general, Isurim, we paskin Tam Kikar. Tam shows that the Isur is present. Sounds like Abaya, not like Rava, right? I'm not going to go through the entire thing now, it's too long. I'm Ikrei there. And B says Ashach, in any case, Rav and Rav and Abaye were arguing within Rav Yehuda, who holds that Min Bemino Einu Batel, and we don't hold that. So they held like a day today, and that we don't hold by, and therefore the machlokes is irrelevant. Right, that's the machlokes in Rav and Ashach. Most Yechon and Lamaisa held like the Shach, right? Which it provides a useful tool to explain this Mishnah. What is going on? Why on earth would Orla and Kilayah Karim be Mitzaref at all? Because they have the same time. Says the Gemara Mitzar, Tzarech Rabbi Shimon, Tzarech Rabbi Yassani, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Shimon, I don't understand. Why would Rabbi Shimon need Tzaref at all in Orla and Kilayah Karim? Rabbi Shimon says you get Malchus for Le Pachus Mikashir. We don't pass the way that Rabbi Shimon says that. So what does it mean that Rabbi Shimon says aim to start him? Why is he involved in this discussion? Right? Shirim for Rabbi Shimon are only a way of assessing if there's a chiyuv korban. But there's no chiyuv korban in Orla and Kilayah Karim, there's only a salaf. Right? Tani, the Gemara says. Ain tzrichin mitzareif. Rabbi Shimon didn't mean that they are not mitzareif. Rabbi Shimon mean there is no need for them to be mitzareif. You'll get malchus anyway. Okay? Or maybe it might be that that's what it should have said. It should have said not ain mitzareif, ain tzrichin mitzareif. And they're altering the gears in the middle. Mas nisim. Habeged vehasak. Hasak vehaor. Haor vehamapat. Kulon mitzdarfin ze imze. Okay. Beged, right? Cloth. Cloth which is usable to make a shirt, which is usable to make garments, right? It's mitzdarif with sak. Sak and sak. It was sackcloth. Sackcloth is mitzdarif, will join together to create shear, to create a shear with leather, and leather will join together to create a shear with what's my pass again? It is I'm sorry. Oh yes, reed mat. Thank you. Okay. And the leather is restarved with a reed mat. They are all mitzdarfin ze imze. Right. They are all mitzdarif. Now, what are they mitzdarif for? Sorry?
Tuma?
Yeah. Yeah, there is a tremendous kiddush in this statement, right? Beged is mitzdarif in 3x3, its bodice. And the minimal shear for a cloth which would be usable to make clothing to become tame is 3x3 its bodice. Right? Like this width, like that. Like that square. Why? Because that's big enough to create a patch. Right? Sackcloth has to be 4x4. Right? It's only usable in slightly bigger portions. Leather is only in 5x5. Again, it has to be slightly bigger to be usable. And parts of reed mat have to be in 6x6. Right, so the statement that our mitzvah is against a rule that we have already stated. That rule was that things are only mitzvah if they have the same shear. Right? Rabbi Shimon, why? In addition, There's another important point. How are they mitzdarif? When we said that a rishon is mitzdarif with a sheni, when it comes to food, which is tamme, a rishon is mitzdarif with a sheni. What does that mean? What does the combination become?
A sheni.
Very good. Here, a beggar is mitzdarif with sak to create something which is mitame in 3x3. Even though sak is only mitame in 4x4. Sak and or combine to 4x4, even though or needs 5x5. Or in mapats, or in a reed mat, leather and a reed mat, combined to 5x5. In the reed mat, it's 6x6. Right? They're all mitzdarif. So why? Amar Rabbi Shimon, there's an answer. Matam, what's the reason for this? This is a very mechudish halacha. This ain't really time for Moshe, because they can all, in addition to being the kambi, tuma, kwan, a kli which is useful for things, right? They're also mechavol tuma, Moshe. Right? Right. When it comes to Moshe, they all have the same shear, right? It has to be something which you can sit on. Right? And then it makes no difference. So since they have a starik there, they're a starik to become tame in other times as well. Okay? Tana. Kitzea mikulon shlesha. Says the Braitha, if you were to take from all of these, right? Right. If you were to take from all of these things together, right? Shlisha. It's odd. Just a minute.
You have the
Yeah.
So,
didn't notice that before. I'm not sure what the Shalisha is doing there. I think it might be about Yosef. The Rambam doesn't have it and Rashi doesn't have it. I'm going to go with that. Tana, Kisami Kulon, the Asam and Beged. If you would take all of them and sew them together to make a Beged, all four of them you put to you rip pieces off to make a Beged, right? Lemishkav, to become time in Mishkav, it'll have to be Shalisha. It'll have to be 3 by 3 fingers. Right?
So the Shittibuk about it leaks the word Shalisha as well.
Ah, Baruch Shekivanti. Literally makes no sense in context. 3 by 3 tfachim is the minimum shear for it to become Tommy Mishkav, right? Because before small than that, it's not useful to lie down on. Lemoshav tefach, for a Moshav it'll be a tefach by a tefach. But to sit on, one tefach by one tefach is already something you can sit on. La achiza. But if you did it for the purpose of achiza, it can be any size at all. It finds
what?
It says, what's that? What is that? Mishkav and Moshav, we've heard of achiza, we haven't really heard of before, right? Amar Reish Lakish Mar Biyanai Shechein Oymeid Le Navla. What does that word mean? Because basically what you do is when weavers were weaving, right? What they do, they're one of the things they're doing is they're winding strings around spindles and around needles and whatever, right? You can really hurt your finger that way, but you can cut circulation. So, because they also round their fingers in the process of doing that. So what they would do is they would wrap this thing around their fingers so that they wouldn't cut off circulation by accident of these strings they were weaving. Right, that's called la achiza. Since it's tiny, any amount will do, right? And that is makabel tumah already, right? Because it's already a useful kli. The masnisa tana, and then we have a price. It says hoveroi lekotsei teinim. Similar idea, right? What they did, people who are picking figs would actually wrap scraps of cloth that were useless for anything else around their hands so when they picked the figs, they wouldn't get covered in the juice of the figs. You know, the juice of figs come out very, very thick and sticky, you make your hands very, very dirty. And I said, friend, that they would wrap this stuff around their hands. Again, any amount is useful. Fine. This is part of a general rule. The minimal shear for an object when it to be makabel tumah is going to be inevitably the minimal shear at which is useful. Now, if you have an object with a use which is unusual, such as the uses that we just described, then typically you need to designate it for that purpose for it to be makabel tumah at that shear. Okay.
It's quite a massive restriction on the Gemara.
That's what the Gemara said, B'chor Yeter. If you did it lachi, then it's kosher. If you didn't do it lachi, then it won't be kosher.
I don't know. But
I'm a lachi. Yeah? Okay. Hadron alach, Kod Shem. And let's continue. Sorry?
Hadron alach, Kod Shem.
Yes. Please go on at some point or another. Hanene mina hektesh shave pruta. Somebody gets hana from hektesh. Shave pruta. Even if he didn't do any damage to the hektesh, he will have committed me'ila, divrei Rabbi Yekiva. That's Rabbi Yekiva's opinion. If it's something which you can damage, right, not which you can damage, but which in normal course of use you might damage, then you will in fact, then there's no mi'ila unless you actually damage it. If it's something she'ein b'pkam, it's something that doesn't get damaged in normal course of using it, right, then there's mi'ila even without damaging it. What does that sound like? Sorry? Very good. Similar to the question of Shechot Yad, Shechot Yisra, and Shechot Yisra. Ketzan. What is a case? Nasana katla betavara. Taba'as be'yada. Shasa be'kois shel ta'av. Kemishnenemal. If you were to put a cutler on the on your neck. I'm sorry, it's a necklace. It's a particular type of necklace. It's like quite whatever. I don't know exactly what it looks like, but it's a nak is a particular type of necklace. It's not just a necklace, but it doesn't matter for our purposes. A hektesh necklace around a woman's neck. Or she put a hektesh ring on her finger. Or somebody was to drink from a golden cup, which was hektesh. Since he got her na'ah, he already committed me'il. Because these are things that in the normal course of use, they do not get damaged. Right? Lavash be'chaluk. Right? If he wore a shirt, he saw betalis, he wore, he wrapped himself up in a shawl. Right? By the way, just to explain what exactly is going on there. Since it's important. The way they would dress in the time of Gemara is as follows. They would wear a tunic, right? And then they would wrap themselves essentially in a toga or over that tunic. Tunic is a shirt. Now, toga was not called a toga. Why? Because, as we all know, when people go to a toga party, right, they wrap themselves in a sheet, and a sheet would square. Elamai, a Roman toga was not square. It was actually circular, and they would fold in half, and then they would wrap around themselves. But a Jewish talis, which was a similar beggar to a toga, was square. And they would wrap around in a fairly thin, simple fashion. That's what we're discussing. Okay?
Okay.
Right. So if he was to wear this shirt or the talis over him, neither of them was hektesh. Right. Those were the two garments that men usually wore, hence those are the two that are specified. Right. Bikea bekardoim, he was to chop something with an axe. He's not going to make ilan until he's done some damage, but these are things which often do get damaged in the normal passage of use. Right?
Clothing?
What?
Even clothing?
I mean, when you're just sitting all day in the base midrash, then no, clothing doesn't get damaged. Even then, clothing does get damaged relatively easily compared to most other things. Right? Right? Just by putting it on, you can damage it, as opposed to a mug, for example, which you can't damage unless you actually drop it. Right? But if you're involved in more rigorous activities, then yeah, sure. People damage clothing all the time. And then Adraba, did you ever wonder why jeans became so popular? Where did jeans come from? When did they start being used?
40 years ago.
Minor is in the 1800s. Because they're a very, very sturdy cloth. Right, so nothing else would stand up to the strain. Even jeans don't stand up to the strain that well, but nothing else would even come close. Okay. Hanene min hachata. Somebody who got hana from a chatas, sheichaya if it was alive. There'll not be any meila until you damage it in some way or another. Shehimisa. When you did do some damage, kim shenenemal. From the second, if the achat is already dead, the second you did, you got any hana at all, you have committed the iser of ne'ila. Okay.
When it's alive, are you working it or showing it or something?
Getting hana. Either you're leaning on it or you're working it in some way or riding her, maybe. Tana is a right. Moira Rabbi Akiva Kham Darshish Kham. But Rabbi Akiva is Moide to Chachamim in something that has a Kham. Rabbi Darshish Yeshbo Kham. Right? Meaning, all the things that Kham said, Rabbi Akiva agrees with.
No.
I hear you wondering, but wait, doesn't that mean that there's no machlokes in our Mishnah? And our Mishnah sounds an awful lot better. Like, there is a machlokes.
There's still a machlokes, and there's no pagam.
What?
When there's no pagam.
No, it's less than Shalom Brutta. Saying, sorry?
When there's no pagam, and it's less than Shalom Brutta.
You think Chaim would say you're fine?
Why not?
Me'ilah is measured in the Shabbat Prutzah. Okay. Be'maika Mishkei, in that case, what exactly did they argue about, says the Gemara? That sounds like the exact topic of their machlokes. So if you're not telling me that wasn't their machlokes, what was their machlokes, right? Amar Rava, Rava said, Bilevush, Metzi'a'a, U, Milemala. What we are talking about something which was what we are talking about is either a basically tzitzis, right? In other words, what we're talking about is one of the following two cases. We're talking about a beged which is worn not right next to your skin, because a beged which is right next to your skin gets damaged a little bit, basically immediately you sweat into it. Right? The beged which is on the surface is going to get damaged straight away, basically straight away, so it's going to get dirty, things are going to fall on it, it might get ripped. We're talking about something that's actually in the middle. Right? You've got three layers in the middle layer. Right? That won't get damaged so fast, but it will get damaged eventually. Right, that beged is the subject of the machlokes between Rabbi Akiva and Chachamim. Chachamim say no. Chachamim say, Rabbi Akiva says in such a case that you need not do any damage. Chachamim say you do need to do damage to get me'ilah, to commit the Isra me'ilah in such a case. At least a full Isra to be chal. Right? And then the second case is Malmala. Okay. Again, similar. It is a beged made from very, very, very thin flax or linen. Right? But the reason why you think that's a very fragile beged, the reason why it doesn't get damaged that easily is because you almost never wear it. Like your wedding suit. You don't put it on very often because you're afraid of it getting damaged. Since you don't put it on very often, again, it takes a very long time to get damaged. So, and again, it will be subject to the machlokes between Rabbi Akiva and Chacham. Chacham will say, you need to do damage to commit the Isra Me'ilah. And Rabbi Akiva will say, no! No need to commit to perpetrate any damage on the object in such a case. Okay? Tanu Rabban Brisa Nefesh, Echad Yachid, Vechad Hanasi, Vechad Hamashiach. When it comes to the Isra Me'ilah, Nefesh, anybody, it makes no difference. Any person becomes Me'ilah, it can be the Yachid, it can be the Nasi, meaning the Melech, right? Why is it called Nasi if it's really the Melech?
Because that's the Lalashin used with Korban that they bring.
Which Korban?
Sorry for a Nazi.
Right? And then the Mashiach, who is the Mashiach?
Kohen Gadol.
Right, where is it? And the reason why again is because he has his own special korban, he has a char that he brings in the event that he commits certain sins, and also the Machayev is actually a Vidal. Whether of a Yachid, when it comes to Me'ilah, it makes a difference whether you're a Yachid, a Nazi, or a Mashiach. Right, same Yisra, same korban. Kisim ol ma'al, who commits Me'ilah, right? Ein ma'al ela shinui. Ma'al means shinui. It means taking that object which was meant for a serving of Kadosh Baruch Hu, either mizbeach, better kibbutz, whatever it was, right? And using it for something else. And similarly says, ish ish kisi stay show you ma'al avay ma'al. And we see that the word ma'al is not a unique word to kodshim. Right, we've also got the kichesh ba'amisoi umal ba'amal. The word mal just means to deny something, change from what is correct. Right? V'oimer, the passage says, v'yimalu belitei avetzeim v'yiznu acharei avalim. They denied the God of their forefathers and they strayed after the Baalim, meaning the Avodah Zara. No? When it comes to Me'ilah Shinoi, some sort of change, right? It should be noted that Tosfos here define it as one of two things. Right? It is either Mikodesh Lechol, Or mirushus lirushus. Meaning just taking it and not using it might be a problem.
Just doing a kinyan.
Mm-hmm.
Even if there's no pagam?
I'm sorry?
Does that need pagam as well?
Totally in the machlokes when the holy wind becomes significant. Right, sometimes yes, sometimes no. Sometimes my machlokes Rabbi Akiva chamim. Right? And no, he said he actually took the death. He has a raya from this morah, but it's not. There's no need to go into that. The hafarim's in the nitty gritty. Actually, we will continue Pesach tomorrow.